tiny little thing, a little change up.
Usually I usually say whenever there's a vote that's like unanimous, I usually say like what the vote was. Yes. Do you want to say that going forward? So you can say like, all commission members are voting that high. Do you want to keep doing it? Okay, that's fine. It's different for each commission, so I just want to be
okay. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. I'm going to call to order the February 13th, 2019 meeting of the Chula Vista Planning Commission. Madam Secretary, will you be so kind as to lead us in the roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Burrows?
Here.
Commissioner Milburn?
Here.
Commissioner Nava?
Here.
Commissioner Zaker?
Here.
Chair Gutierrez?
Here.
And De La Rosa. Yes.
Are we going to hear? Are we going to hear? Do you have any motions to excuse? Everybody here? Okay. Former Commissioner Yolanda Calvo, would you like to come up for a moment? I'll make sure her mic's on.
I finally get to speak from this side.
Yes. Commissioner Calvo, would you be so kind as to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, yes. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Before I get started, though, I'd like to take a moment just to thank Commissioner Calvo for her years of service.
Thank you.
We have some flowers for you right here.
Thank you.
And I just want to say, can we sit down, I guess, and say it? But I just want to take a moment and just say that it's been nothing short of a pleasure to serve on this commission with you.
Thank you.
You've been nothing short of incredibly professional, and your background as an engineer, a civil engineer, has been nothing short of just an absolute asset to this commission.
Thank
the city of Chula Vista owes you an incredible debt for your time that you spent away from your family, but most importantly, for all that you've done to really make this a better community.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been an honor for me to serve with you guys as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Calvo. I'm going to begin this meeting with some remarks, the Planning Commission opening statement. Good evening. Before beginning tonight's meeting, I'd like to make a few introductory remarks. The Planning Commission is comprised of seven citizens, right now six, who serve without pay and are appointed by the City Council. The Commission has responsibility for considering general plan amendments, rezonings, conditional use permits, precise plans, and subdivisions. Some Commission actions are final unless appealed to the City Council. The Chair will call each case by number and staff will provide an overview of the proposal. The public hearing is open, and if you wish to speak on any item, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip and submit it to our secretary. When addressing the commission, please give your name and address, and we ask that you limit your remarks to 3 minutes. Upon completion of testimony, the public hearing will be closed, and the commission will deliberate and act on each item. Should a request be denied or anyone wishes to appeal a recommendation, the appeal must be filed in writing with the planning department within 10 calendar days of our decision. An appeal fee is required. Any visual aids that are used during staff's presentation are to assist the commission in clearly understanding the proposal. Visual aids that are used during the applicant's presentation do not necessarily represent staff's position or an endorsement of the presentation and are solely reflective of the presenter's views. We ask that all cell phones be turned off. We appreciate your attendance and participation in this meeting. Okay, which brings us to item one, which is the approval of minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion. Any discussion? We got a second?
A second.
I have a second. So we have a motion by Commissioner Zaker and seconded by Commissioner Burrows to approve the minutes.
Start the vote.
Please vote. The motion passes with all commissioners present voting aye. This now opens up to public comment. Is there anybody that would wish to speak on any items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, I am going to close public comment. Brings us to item two, which is a consideration of design review DR18-0018 for a self-storage facility in the Skye Business Park within the Village 3 Master Plan community. Staff, take it away.
Skye Self-Storage Facility in Otay Ranch, Village 3. Tonight, you are being asked to consider the design review plans for the project. I would like to begin by giving you a little background on the site itself. The project is on 3.1 acres along Heritage Road in the Village 3 Business Park. The project site is bound by the Otay Landfill to the north, the Town Center to the south, and vacant industrial sites to the east and west. Self-storage is a permitted use in the Village 3 industrial zone. All development in Village 3 is regulated by its sectional planning area, or SPA plan, which includes planned community district regulations for industrial uses and business park design guidelines. Each lot within the business park must be designed in accordance with these documents. The project includes self-storage, RV storage, and an office for leasing and management. The project site plan provides detail on setbacks, circulation, trash and recycling, pedestrian access, and parking. The Village 3 Planned Community District regulations do not include specific parking requirements for self-storage use, so the applicant has prepared a parking analysis demonstrating that the proposed 21 parking spaces are appropriate. The analysis looks at other local jurisdictions' parking requirements and at the Smart Self-Storage project recently approved by the City of Chula Vista in the East Lake Business Park. The office is located on the ground floor of the storage facility. Exterior access is available for some of the units. Two elevators and two stairwells serve the second and third floors. The Skye Self-Storage Project has a modern agrarian architectural style. Glazing and tower elements are used to break up the building massing. The materials and colors are consistent with and complement the nearby Skye Town Center. Finishes include a variety of stucco colors, galvanized aluminum facade details, and split face block. Architectural accents include decorative metal louvers, canopies, and pilasters. Drought-tolerant landscape is provided at the entrance, along the project boundaries, and in the parking lot, helping screen the project, soften the edges, and provide shade. Self-storage is a permitted use in the Village 3 industrial zone, and the project complies with the relevant policies and guidelines for development within the Village 3 Business Park. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution approving design review permit DR18-0018. And the self-storage developer and property owner are here tonight to speak on behalf of the project and answer any questions you may have.
Colleagues, do you have any clarifying questions to staff? Commissioner Milburn.
Can you go back to the landscaping plan? The very light drawn trees along Heritage Road, are they planned, or are they required, or will they be there?
Yes, those are the responsibility of the master developer.
Okay. So the project's pretty much shielded by the trees along Heritage Road.
There's really two layers of trees, one at the sidewalk for Heritage Road, and then again along the site boundary.
Okay. And is there a wall also around the property?
No, there's a wrought iron fence around part of it, but you'll be able to see through that. And there's also a slope that goes up from the street, which you can't see here. You can see the lines for it.
Yeah.
Commissioner Del Rosa?
I finally got the mic on. Can staff clarify in terms of the grade, the height between Heritage Road and the actual elevation of the building? Because it seemed to, I was just curious in terms of the landscaping and the actual height of the building versus the homes below and the rest of the village.
That's a good question. I can blow this up and see if we can read it better. But the elevations are on this.
Yeah, I noticed that. It just maybe the actual, if the applicant is here, I was just curious in terms of, so looking at the landscaping, I just wanted to clarify in my own mind in terms of the height of the building and the vegetation and the line of sight from the actual village itself.
Right.
Because it looked like it was 15 feet higher, and then is the building, it's three stories?
Three stories.
So that 45 feet, or, anyways, so that's what I was kind of interested in terms of the clarification, just if someone could clarify. Thank you.
We have some images that have been, for the record, have been shared by the applicant. Just in regards to what it will look like, these are renderings for the record.
And the applicant is here, if you'd like to fill in any information.
Commissioner Del Rosa, does this suffice, or do you need...
I know we have clarifying questions, and then we're going to deliver it, so I got caught in that last time. However the chair wants to do it, but my question is, obviously there was great care taken in terms of the actual design to match the development.
Let's wait till
So if that's, we can further that discussion, but that's, I was just hoping staff could clarify it in detail.
I appreciate it. Okay. So the next thing we're going to do, because we're going to, there's no questions, there's no further questions, we're going to open up the public hearing. So our first speaker is going to be Steve Levinson from HomeFed.
Thank you. Good evening, Chairman Gutierrez, Commissioners. My name is Steve Levinson with HomeFed Corporation, representing the developer and the applicant. I first of all wanted to thank Janice for the excellent presentation that she did with regard to the self-storage. I wanted to take a moment and update you on what's been happening at the Village of Ushuaia since we've been here a number of months ago. The community is growing at a rapid pace. It has been extremely well received in the marketplace. Almost 500 homes have been sold in the last 14, 15 months by our home builders, with more selling each week. The mixed-use apartment retail community that you previously approved is under construction and due to open in the fall. I'm looking forward to the invitation to our grand opening that you all will be receiving. Community purpose facility building for the Boys and Girls Club is also under construction in our mixed-use town center. We're hoping to get that open for them around Christmas time, and they're very excited about that being really a flagship building for the community. A Chevron gas and convenience store is currently in the working drawings stage. It's already been approved and should be under construction in the next few months, with the intent to hopefully open around Thanksgiving. A future city park will break ground this year. We are also examining our options for the development of a Sky Business Park, our office building site, and a remaining commercial site. Lastly, Chula Vista Elementary School District continues its contractual due diligence on our zoned school site. I know that they're anxious to get going, and from what we have heard, to hopefully be open in 2021. So that's information, at least from the school district. The self-storage development before you this evening offers diversity of product within Ushuaia. It is meeting a need for storage in the area, and most importantly, is a storage alternative for our residents and surrounding neighbors. As the master developer of Ushuaia, we expect our residents to use their garages for their vehicles, not for storage. We're sensitive to residents who park their cars on the streets and believe that by offering an alternative storage option, will help alleviate the on-street parking. You may recall from previous presentations, the overall theme, as Ms. Kluth also mentioned tonight, is an agrarian theme throughout Iskaya. We spent great pains to try to carry that theme into the self-storage building, which you saw in the elevations that were presented. The self-storage building is compatible with the agrarian architectural theme. It's also compatible with the landscape design and fits well with both the public and private landscape theme. We've established CC&Rs for the entire Iskaya Business Park, which includes this facility, in order to maintain the quality of the development. I'd like to go ahead and address a couple of the questions that were asked just a few minutes ago. I took some notes up. I can read my own writing. I'll try to do that. First of all, with regard to the way the building sits on the slope is an average of about 23 feet from Heritage Road that rises up to the top of the slope. The street is rising, so that's basically an average. That slope, to answer Commissioner Milburn's question, is there. It's actually landscaped as we speak. We're in the process of landscaping all the slopes along Heritage Road, and the landscaping has gone up there, so there's plants in the ground, trees are being planted, so you have the landscaping that is produced from the slope from Heritage Road to the top of the slope, and then you have the landscaping that we've introduced on this development. So there will be layers of trees as you rise above. We talked about the fence. It is a wrought iron fence. It's purposely wrought iron. It's a decorative fence, and it's there to enhance the look of what we're doing across the street and to enhance the look of the building that we, as I mentioned, spent pains to create and look unique and look like it fit into the development. I'm looking to see if I missed a question that was asked. Our architect and engineer is also here, and we're prepared to answer any questions you may have. Okay.
Any other further public comment? Seeing no further comment, public comment, and we're going to now
turn on my microphone. And then next we're going to have deliberation by commissioners. And Commissioner De La Rosa, you were biting at the chomp.
Biting at the chomp, that's it.
Let's get started.
All right, Commissioner Gutierrez. Just quickly, in terms of the elevation, again, they showed a graphic here, and it seemed to answer a lot of the questions. It is visible, and it looks like there was great care taken in terms of the actual architecture that was given to be consistent. I would imagine with their development, you were very careful. I just had a quick question, just confirmation, in looking at the backup documentation and then looking at this graphic here, I noticed that the lighting is lower on the building, and I was just curious in terms of there was going to be lighting on the top of the building, or just because that top story seems to be visible not only from the street, but I was just curious in terms of it would be visible from the home. But it looks like that most of that lighting is down below, and I guess one would expect from an industrial area there that you are going to have some lighting from that area. But I was just curious in terms of you took that in consideration in the shielding. I did read that you did have shielding on that lighting, but again, just because it looked like it was going to be visible and might be visible for some time before that landscape being matured, I was just wanted to make sure I asked a question.
We have low-grade lighting that does rise on the upper floor. It is again, kind of an agrarian-style light. It's really to kind of wash the wall. And so there is light above, but you know, we were taking into account distances from the homes that are substantially far from the development when you look at where the building sits, the site, the slope, Heritage Road, then the same thing, the sidewalk and slope going down to the home. So that was taken into account. There is lighting on the building. For really decorative purposes on the top level more than anything else.
I did read that. I just wanted to hear from the applicant in terms of the actual lighting, not seeing any of the bulbs exposed, having to see it from the home. Again, it's an industrial site zone for that. You would expect that, but just because there was such great care taken, I wanted to ask that question and see if that was considered. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm satisfied with that.
I did your thing, but I think Commissioner Zaker's next.
Okay.
But then you're next now.
Yes.
Commissioner Zaker.
Sure, thank you. Well, first up, let me tell you that I'm so grateful to see that some of the newer storage units that are being developed, they're getting more and more design intense. I mean, really, if you look at this, it really doesn't look like a storage. So great job on really incorporating as much design as you can. My questions are not so much design related, so if the chair would permit me, I'd like to ask. Has a storage unit always been part of the master plan for this area? Is this something that was recently kind of added? And I know it's industrial, I know it's permitted, but my question is just kind of overall, have you always envisioned that there would be something of this mass?
We did. We did envision storage. We envisioned it primarily for the reasons that I mentioned a minute ago with regard to having the access to, for our residents primarily, to try to keep their storage out of their garages, which, as you know, is quite an issue in many other master plan communities. So it was by right zoned that way. We knew it going in. It was pretty much from the beginning always our intent to blend that in. This is 3 acres out of 16 up there. We talked a little bit about our intentions in our last meeting before up there. You know, we have the Chevron coming. They're excited to be there. Public benefit, they actually are expecting sales tax of approximately about $1 million a year just coming out of that Chevron. And employing about 15 people or so. We've got an acre parcel up on the top slope where the Chevron and this development sits that we're hoping to attract a restaurant or some kind of commercial use that will really complement the mixed use that's across the street. It's directly on Avenida Skye, directly across the street from the mixed use. And then we have as we discussed when I was here a few months ago with the business park, approximately 175,000 square feet on a very preliminary plan to try to bring in a substantial employment base there. So, you know, with the master plan, we try to be diverse. We try to provide, you know, whatever we can for our residents and neighbors around us. And this is another use that adds to that.
Well, you certainly read my mind, because for those folks that know me, I'm the guy who's always asking for more economic development, because job creation. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to strike a balance between a bedroom community and an employment land. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness that's gone into the master plan. I'm glad to hear that at least some land is being designated for future employment creation and job creation and revenue to the city, because as we all know, we need to provide more services to all the communities. So
we'll be seeing every one of those developments. I look forward to bringing them to you.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Nova.
Yes.
Sorry.
I echo Commissioner Zucker's comments on the need for these facilities. And the question that I had was related to parking. I read through the parking study that you have, because looking at the initial, look at the standards that require parking against parking that is being proposed, that's a big difference. So looking at your parking study or the studies that you looked at, are these studies, like, how do they apply to this facility in regards to, like, size of facilities comparison?
So first of all, I'd like to point out what Ms. Kluge did mention, and that there is no parking standard for self-storage.
Right.
So when you look in your report and you're looking at the required parking versus provided, you're looking at parking required for a warehouse-type storage, not for this use.
Correct.
That's why the study was done. So the study looked at what is done for other facilities like this in the city of San Diego. I also looked at the smart storage facility that you all had approved some time ago that opened not too long ago. A lot of these projects are offering, if you drive by them, you may see 6 spaces, 7 spaces, 8 spaces, something like that. We have 21 spaces. So we feel that we are far in excess of what is typical for a facility like this.
Right. I understand that there's no standard for this. If given the case that an extreme day that the facility is full, parking is full, what are your provisions for that? In order to not have people park on the Heritage Road, they use the RV parking?
The RV parking, it sits behind the fence.
Right.
So it's all secure. Again, frankly, this site is, by the lay of the land, the site is much bigger than it needs to be for a project of this size. And consequently, we filled that extra space with the parking and with additional landscaping. So I understand you could say, well, what would happen in those unusual cases, but your typical development would not, of this size, would not have required 3 acres of land. It was just because we had the acreage and decided, okay, let's do it and let's go ahead and add parking just to ensure that we don't have those issues. So we really do feel that we've taken that into account, and hopefully, I can't say 100%, but feel that we have done what would be necessary for an extreme case.
Commissioner Nava, too, and a lot of people who go to these self-storage sites to park right next to the self-storage unit that they're at, and it's an active thing. You usually don't just
hang. Yeah, I'm renting one, and it's like a newer one. It's called Smart Storage.
Yeah, you usually just park right next to it, and just take all your stuff out, and just kind of
drive. Yeah, those spaces. It's a lot less.
Yeah, they have few spaces. There's been a couple of times where this is why I'm asking, right? Because I understand what's here all of it, but there's been a couple of times, that has been full, and I have the parking, but there's people like waiting for parking where they have the entrance, and a lot of people actually what they do is they park on the fire lane. Right. Mm-hmm.
And if I might add, that is a much tighter entrance, as you know, and the space is certainly limited compared to the parking that we have offered, as well as far as the user for the facility, they do have the ability, as Chairman Gutierrez mentioned, to park in front of their doors, once they're inside and use that for parking. The parking in front is, as you know, typically for a visitor, a person who's signing a lease, and
right.
It would be exceptionally rare.
The ones that are
outside. We actually would probably love the fact that we could have 20 cars in there or people that want to rent all at the same time, but that is not typically the case.
Understood.
I appreciate your question.
Yes. And then one last question, kind of related to the question that were asked, this is in front of the landfill, right? The landfill is...
The landfill rises behind us.
Right. So are we, with this building, are we hiding that
yes.
Net that's there? Because that's really...
I mean, it's nice. Higher than us, but no, it's definitely... Everything that we do on that slope will obviously help kind of break the look and the feel
right.
of that landfill. This obviously will as well. So we've added trees, we've added more barriers, it's more visual barriers to the landfill, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Milbert.
This is somewhat unrelated, but regarding the, we're talking about, discouraging the parking within the residential area of Vizcaya. Are there any covenants governing on-street parking for the residential section?
There are covenants in the homeowner's CC&Rs encouraging them to be using their garage. In some of the future villages that you're going to be seeing, we have actual covenants that restrict that entirely. In Village 3, I will tell you, I'm not 100% sure that is the case where they are restricted, but it is certainly something that our Homeowners Association management, as well as Home Fed, is very keen on and is talking to all of our residents as they move in about the rules of the road. And, we spent substantial time and work with staff, as Ms. Klutz will certainly remember, talking about parking and making sure that we were generating and creating parking and being mindful of the overflow. But it's something that will be an ongoing management issue.
Yeah, because it does affect property value.
Right. And obviously we have every incentive to keep the property values high. And, this is our first development of multiple down there, as you know. And we want people to feel comfortable with a Home Fed community, and they'll go into this one to see it when they go to look at buying into the next one. So we're going to be active and around for a long time.
Thank you.
Commissioner Zeker.
Thank you. I really do hope that that the residents would follow your thought processor, which is to really park in their garage and then put their stuff in the storage. I guess time will tell if that plays out, because human nature typically is, we like to accumulate stuff. So, but I really hope, because I think the logic behind it makes sense. I just hope that it actually happens in real life. Now, I'm just trying to understand if I heard staff in the staff presentation there are, and I'm looking at the slide, there are 27 RV spaces. Am I reading that right? Mm-hmm. And then there is 21 parking spaces in addition to, or are they one of the same?
Two. And 6 loading spaces.
So if I'm looking at the slide, I see where the 21 parking spaces are, right? So where are the RV?
This
parking?
Is RV across the top.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's outside the red. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was my question.
Sure.
Mr. Del Rosa.
Just a quick clarification on for the parking spaces. Can you access that
from the top, or is it the circulation go around? What's the ingress and egress for the parking space? Is it right there at the bottom? The red. Yeah, there? Is that the only...
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you access... So
that's correct.
So if you go in, you go into the office, you park there. Or if you want to go into your unit... I guess I'm just trying to understand the flow. So if you want to get to your unit in the back, you go to the loading spaces or you come back around and enter that parking space. If not, you'd have to... Just trying to understand that.
And you come out through the parking lot. I think... I believe this is one way, but maybe...
Yeah, it looks like it's one way. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's one way. Okay. I just want to make sure it's
really that is, that's a circular flow, so you have a separate entrance for the office and the parking, mm-hmm. and then that other entrance up at the top of the church would be the users of the facility would go in that direction.
Was there a reason why you didn't have an access if you parked in, went to the office, and then you can make that loop around rather than exiting out and going around?
That's why I bring everybody else with me. You do, you know, this is not a flat site. There's nothing in the sky that's flat. And this is like that. So there's actually a great separation there. So
okay.
That
makes sense. I don't think it's going to be the high volume traffic, but as I understand it, it's sharing that entrance road with the Chevron coming in now. So that's why I'm asking in terms of that traffic flow coming back and having to go around.
Chevron will have 2 points of ingress and egress. They'll take access off of Avenida Skaya and come in that direction, and then they will also take access off of that driveway that will be shared.
Okay.
Obviously, the majority of the traffic will be going to the Chevron as opposed to our place.
Right, but there will be 2 entrances for the Chevron, so they can, if need be, they don't have to get involved here with the RVs or the circulation of... Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
I'd like to have a few comments myself. I think that where the location is placed, I think that thoughtfulness as far as the whole community is going, so that they don't store things in a garage and being able to give an actual opportunity for them to be able to use this, you know, these self-storage facilities, the 125,000 square feet of self-storage, really lends to being able to create a best practice and allows for the Skaya community to hopefully be able to put their cars in their garage. But also there's really no excuse if they're not, because there's indeed a self-storage down the way. And it's also thoughtfully located between Heritage Road and the Otay landfill. So location, wonderful choice. And also I think that being able to provide a very convenient option, and an option that basically really, really helps enforce the roles that you have as a community. I think it was really thoughtful, and I just appreciate that. But my colleagues, anybody... would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Burrows. Do we have a second or further discussion? We have a second by Commissioner Milburn. Please vote. Oh, actually, we have some discussion. Commissioner Zaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm more than happy to support this, because I know a lot of thought has gone into it, but I just want to go on record saying that I hope for, as we go into the future for HomeFit, that you really bring us more employment type of activities that generate jobs, because I really, really feel our community would benefit from this, and I know that is your intent, I know that is a plan, but I just wanted to go on record and really emphasize that really should be a top priority, because I think that really makes the community it makes it a home where folks could live and work and do all that cool stuff in one place, as opposed to have to get in the car and drive somewhere else. So
we agree and we're working on it.
Yeah. I echo the Commissioner's Acres sentiment, and also I look forward to seeing the more commercial aspects of your community, and hopefully we can lower VMTs and greenhouse gas emissions by having those amenities closer. And it looks like to be the case. Once again, we still have any further comments or discussion items? So we do have a motion made by Commissioner Burrows and seconded by Commissioner Milburn. Any other discussion? So it's time to vote. Motion passes with all commissioners present voting aye. All right. Thank you all for being here today. Appreciate your project. Have a lovely, lovely evening. Drive safe in San Diego, and when it rains, everybody gets scared and it's not as fun. Okay. Do we have a director's report?
Nothing to report.
Commissioners' comments? Colleagues? Comments? Just appreciate you, Yolanda. You're the best.
That's the only thing I want to echo is I didn't get a chance to serve with Yolanda, but I did serve with her on the Bayfront. The Bayfront Cultural Design Committee, and she is one of the most professionals, and she's very mindful of her comments. So I'm sad that I didn't get a chance to work with you, but good luck on your new position.
Thank you. You have a song as you leave. They don't get that part. That's the first time I've heard that. Any other comments, colleagues?
Thank you, Yolanda. Thank you for your...
Yolanda, well, you're the best.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
But you know what, Michael? I feel someday you may be working with Yolanda in the future.
Tell us about that.
And that is the adjournment.
Yeah. On that note.
Wow.